Good afternoon.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Under the Moon with Joni Ross. Let's start the show with the beautiful voice of Miss Ella Fitzgerald. Everyone, and welcome to Under the Moon with Joni Ross Astrologer. I'm joined here today with Pat McHugh, a very good friend and fellow stargazer and observer of the planetary energies. Please feel free to call into the show if you'd like to comment or ask a question. The phone number is 213-816-0357. For example, a good question would be, what's happening this week astrologically? And how can I apply this information to my life? Just one second. I'm inviting Pat on. So, to answer my own question, I'd like to begin this show each week with some comments on astrological symbolism we all are experiencing. I'd like to start by mentioning this past Thursday, there was a partial lunar eclipse full moon. On May 9th, a new moon solar eclipse, and followed by another lunar eclipse on the next full moon. So we are in between a three eclipse cycle right now. Eclipses occur when the sun, moon, and earth are in a straight line, whether either the sun or the moon are temporarily occluded. The moon's shadow crosses the Earth's surface in a solar eclipse, and in a lunar eclipse, the moon moves into the Earth's shadow. This marks a time of change in the world and marks a period of about 3 to 6 months. If someone's personal planets or their ascendant is or on close to the degree of the eclipse, they might be really experiencing a shift in their personal life that's dynamic. Okay, so back two days ago when we had the first eclipse, the moon was in Scorpio, which is ruled by Pluto, the planet of transformation, the stirring of deep emotions and fear of change. What really is to fear but fear itself? In order to release attachment to the past and to what is no longer relevant to our own development, we must be free to fully embrace a fresh emotional connecting to now. The sun is in Taurus, Venus's sign, and concerned with issues of the physical and material world, such as money, love, pleasure, possessions, and security. So if what you're experiencing feels intense and you feel like running from yourself, don't. It isn't a time to avoid those feelings and this process. Rather, it's an opportune time to make a real shift. Then we can change the way we handle the things we tend to be addicted to, like sex, food, drugs, pick your poison, really any compulsive way of dealing with life. To add another layer to the story of what was going on in this lunation is Saturn together with the Sun and Mars with the Moon, forming an opposition to themselves. We can sense Saturn's influencing the need to be responsible and committed to the long-term goals, as Mars relates to mustering the courage to activate our decisions or instead being frustrated and upset. So the way I see it right now, as we still are in the full moon phase, it's a really good time to focus on how you and I can make significant shift from fear and tension towards release and readiness. If your sun, moon, or ascendant is around 6 degrees Scorpio or near 6 degrees of any of the fixed signs, which are Leo, Aquarius, and Taurus, you may be facing significant change in your personal life somewhere. You can contact me, and I would be happy to email you a copy of your horoscope. Tomorrow morning, just a bit before dawn, Saturn will oppose the sun. It's a really good time to fortify that decision to be vigilant, no matter what, so you can accomplish what you determine. At least have a really good conversation with yourself about it, hopefully during a morning meditation. By late morning, the moon is in the sign of Capricorn with Saturn as the ruling planet. Getting a lot done, keeping it real. Tuesday, same thing, moon in Capricorn, getting a lot done. And Wednesday morning, we have that opposition of Mars and Saturn exact. And we could feel the stress of that, but really it can be also productive if we're really working on something that needs mastery. Don't be tricked into arguments. By Wednesday afternoon, the moon goes into the activist sign Aquarius. Now you can continue to get a lot done, but by then the tension is transposed into understanding. Take time to be with a friend, listen to stories of what other people are going through. It's all interesting while the moon is in Aquarius. Friday morning, there's a void of course moon. So try to schedule important meetings or activities after 1:15 in the afternoon, if possible. And finally, Saturday, May 4th, the moon enters the spiritual meditative sign of Pisces. Working with Pisces energy is the working consciousness. For example, picture yourself at the ocean, silently talking to all the Neptunian gods about your dreams for prosperity, for peace. Feel how poignant and beautiful your energy is when aligned with the universe itself. Especially in an eclipse cycle like this, it's important that we schedule in time to recharge our life force and renew our spirit. So I'm hoping I have Pat on the line. Are you here, Pat?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Excellent. So welcome to the first show of Under the Moon.
I'm so thrilled to be here.
So if anyone's out there listening, You can call in at 213-816-0357. I'm hoping that's the right number. I'll give a hand to this. Okay. Anyway, we're going to move on. If you don't get on today, or if your question isn't being referred to and discussed, give me a little time and I will bring it up. I've had some very interesting emails, and so has Pat. So we'll try to address what everyone out there needs to learn and wants to know about what's going on, how it might apply to them. So let's see, Pat. We know each other how long?
Oh, gosh. 20 years. Almost That's 20 years. Almost 20.
Right. I met Pat when I was doing readings in New York City in a restaurant back in the day, and she decided to call me as a client, and we've known each other ever since, and you've been a student of astrology, too.
Yes. For 6 years?
At least six years.
I have no idea when we formally cemented the student-teacher relationship. You've really been teaching me things the entire time I've known you, but...
Oh, good, good. But also before me, you've gone to many readers, astrologers, that you always like. So tell me what it is you like about astrologers and astrology.
I find, I find astrology fascinating. And for me, it gives me a great sense of place in the universe. And I like
where you are.
Yes, where I am, where uh-huh. every single person is. And I think it's very, I love that we all bring this very unique blueprint for our life with us when we're born, when we cast our own charts when we're born.
Yeah, and we tend to want to deny that sometimes, right? But we did choose that moment in some way or another, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one thing that fascinates me the most about astrology is the uniqueness and the we each have that.
Yes,
we
do.
It's a tool in our lives.
It's a tool in our lives. To me, astrology is also a great passion. I've been seeking truth for most of my life. Started out, well, let me quit everything, and then I'll add on if it seems okay. But after I started doing spiritual practice, I was really miffed about why I couldn't seem to just change myself. And, of course, being a Scorpio with a moon in Aquarius, those fixed signs I was talking about, that makes sense now. But so I started out looking to astrology for what is it okay to be who I was? And I think this is a good question for all of us, don't you?
Yes.
And the answer, as far as I'm concerned, is not only is it okay, but if you do it right, it's unbelievable. So that's one of the reasons I started really having a passion for astrology, because it is the true diversity. A moment has so much information in it. And we're not just information, we're energy. And actually, energy is also an expression of information, and how we vibrate depends on how we're going to affect everything else.
Absolutely.
So I know there's someone on the call, I wondered if she had a question. Anyway, a good place to start, I think, is to just find out a little bit more about your own horoscope. And there's a lot of places you can have your horoscope made for you with some brief explanation. Sometimes you have to pay a few dollars, but you can just read. And you start to see that I'm not just a Scorpio or I'm not just a Virgo. I have a moon sign, I have an ascendant, all these things. Sometimes they harmoniously work together and sometimes there's a dissonance. So... there's a lot to learn in terms of synthesizing the chart, but as we talk about the symbolism, I think what happens is our mind opens to thinking about ourselves in a different way, especially when you look at your chart, you can sort of relate to how you see yourself. And that's how I see the charts, because we have, this, in this eclipse cycle, we're having this planetary energy right now. Can you imagine how intense the children are that are being born, and brilliant, but serious? And then we have those other babies that were born when I was in the Pluto and Leo flower children generation, having to live in this intensity right now. So your chart reflects something about what you want to express, and then you have to relate to what the world is wherever you are. So the way I see it is getting to see that things are happening on many levels, and that the way to change what's going on outside you is to really, A, change your perception of it by changing what you're willing to see inside you, to clear out the preconceptions or the prejudices or the defense systems in your own understanding, and open your mind in a way that you allow yourself to really perceive things as you. And if you go deep enough, the you is everything. It's the universe itself. So, or the greater you, the little you and the big you. So to me, it's just fascinating and interesting. And I just wonder why people wind up liking astrology and being curious about it. So if people want to email me and give me a little feedback, that would be a wonderful gift. You could email me at, or just say hi to me at Joni Ross Astrologer on Facebook, and let me know what you want to know about astrology and possibly some feedback about what interests you in the astrological discussion. So, Pat, I hope I'm not putting you on the spot, but what is it you're looking for when you get your readings?
Well, as I've matured, as I've gotten older, I look for different things. I think when I was younger, I was looking for a much more cookie cutter kind of predictive astrology, and I think now I'm looking for a much more thoughtful way of looking at my chart, where I'm not necessarily looking at things that, where someone's not predicting what will happen to me, but someone is advising me on how to deal with the energy and the aspects that are occurring in my chart currently.
Great. Wow, that's good. I bet you have a good astrologer. Ha ha.
Well.
No, but I think this is such an important maturity when you're going to a reader of any kind, whether it's astrology or even your medical records. You have to understand that your own existence is something you're responsible for. So you can't give the power of who you are and what that means to someone else. You want to go to someone who really respects that you know more than they do about you, but can see things from a different perspective and help free you from maybe the,
yes,
the trend of how you're seeing your life in that moment, and
mm-hmm.
kind of recenter. And that's my goal when I talk to someone, that I can empower their enthusiasm and give them a couple of things to work on that will just really make a huge difference. So even one thing, if I was going for a reading, I'd say even one thing that helped me with that, I'd be going, very good, very good. Somebody asked me on email, would I have to find it, because it's a woman named Mary. It was a question about world currency and changing one of the major problems in the world, which is the distribution of resources and how we handle all this and banking and all these things, which I think is such an interesting discussion. And I think there are a lot of astrologers that are looking at these issues and talking about kind of the global trends and political trends and all these things. It isn't really the way I work. You know, my thing is consciousness and more on a spiritual level as a counselor. But I did have a couple of thoughts about what to look for, because with Pluto in the sign of Capricorn, we have Capricorn has to do with big business or who's in charge, like the head of the governments and the rules and the structure of our society and the enforcement of it. And whenever you have Pluto in a sign, it just cleans it up. So we have a lot of really off-power issues being revealed. Things are being revealed maybe that you didn't see before unless you had a way of getting into kind of the secrets. And then right now Pluto squaring Uranus in Aries, and Aries is this kind of fearless energy, and Uranus is this kind of dynamic activism energy of for really, I don't care how it breaks down, this has to break down. So we're seeing this kind of intense, erratic stuff going on in governments, in the financial world, everything. But what she asked me, what she was saying was that how many people were really fighting for this to change and to shift, and what did astrology say? And that's the discussion that I find I wanted to be at least listening to and part of in some way, that we have to understand the power of our own life to not give up and to keep going. Because just because it looks like this is the power, this is just the power function, but the power is the universe itself, meaning our reality is formed by all of us. And when we really passionately focus, like this woman seems to be, it was just very beautiful, the way she asked her question. I know if enough people are thinking that way, then even though it's dynamic tension and confrontation and challenge right now, that the aftermath is a new structure that is more humanitarian and more developed or evolved. So,
very exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. There's a lot of experts in the astrological world to talk to about this much better than it would be to me. But I really just want to say to anyone out there fighting for their causes that I want to thank you for that. And I'm here to answer questions if people need a little advice on maybe how their energies feel stuck. Also, how do I want to say this? Sometimes when you're in the world discussion, as a lot of us are on the internet, we don't realize how much of the angst we're absorbing. And people get tired and they don't realize it. So I think that it's really important to stop and just really appreciate yourself and your life itself and take a break and then come back fresh, ready to win. So that's my little sermon. Oh my goodness. So the other thing I wanted to mention, that if anyone is interested in having me take a look at their horoscope, It is an interesting experience, especially if like if the eclipse is falling on your angles of your chart or on your sun or your moon, or if you're around certain junctures in life, like just before 30, between 28 and 30, when you're having the first revolution of Saturn to where it was when you were born, the Saturn return. And Saturn has to do with commitment. So around that time, you know, we really want to figure out what we're committed to. And, you know, it is a time a lot of people like to have a consultation with an astrologer. Another time would be sort of when where I am, you know, next year I'm going to have my second Saturn return at 58. So that's another good time to do it, because at that point you're ready to kind of step into the role of master, helping people figure out how to mentor younger people. And I'm really looking forward to doing that more. I already teach astrology. Obviously, Pat and I have been studying for a while. I don't think I could find a better Pat student than you, Pat, though.
Oh, well, thank you.
you're my first long-term student, even though I've had classes and people come in and they go out. But I was that kind of student where I would go to workshops, read books, and do things and have an empirical experience with it. I don't think you have to become an astrologer to study astrology, but I think the study itself is kind of an opening in perception and awareness. Don't you, Pat?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, it is. So maybe we can tell everyone what we've been doing lately in class.
Our Plutonian adventures.
Yeah, we've been deciding what we want to study and just looking in books of people that are really interesting. And we read aloud what they say, and then we have our dialogue with them and with each other. And it seems that synchronistically what we study applies to what we're experiencing so often. And I just really cherish our classes, and I really have such a great time when we are doing astrology class. And I want to thank you for that, Pat, my dear.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome.
Speaking of that, I wanted to thank our sponsor and the owner of our radio station, Here Be Monsters, and sponsored by Daughters of Isis, this fantastic oil blending company. And in fact, let me put a little bit of my mix. I think there's a lot of great stuff in here. Yeah, Yangling Yulang and Sandalwood. I don't remember everything else that I said. Oh, I like that, and she just made me blend. And it's essential oils are just, and oil mixtures are just really good because they go directly to the psyche, and they help free us from the kind of tension and constricted feeling we have inside ourselves. So anyway,
Tony,
back
did
to
they have a website?
Yes. Let me. I'm still getting used to studio board and getting back my other information, so please bear with me, listeners. The website, I'll get to that later. I don't want to be embarrassing myself with how I can't find my email page. Okay, so back to our discussion of Pluto. You know, we've been really thinking in terms of evolutionary astrology and how Pluto is such a huge figure. And even though Pluto was demoted to a dwarf planet, and you talk to Scorpio astrologers and they go, right, there's no demoting of Pluto. Anyway, that Pluto in our horoscopes, we move in with a lot of people. You know, sometimes 30 years of births are in the same Pluto sign. So it's really a big generational significator. But each one of us has this evolutionary pattern that we've been in from previous lives. And according to evolutionary astrology, that Pluto will indicate the stuff we're working on. And how we might still be connected to the reacting to it rather than the solutions about it. And the whole process of Jeffrey Wolf Green work is very interesting to look at. But in our own cases, Pat and I, we realized how many, many, many aspects the other planets are making to Pluto. Right, Pat? I think you have five and I have seven, and once you're in there, you can't get out.
Yes, that is very true, actually. And I had not given much, as we discussed when we first started studying Pluto, I really hadn't given Pluto much thought before in my chart.
Right. I don't think many people do, because in a sense, even if you look it up in these astrology explanations of reports, it just seems like, well, from 1949 to 1959,
because,
this kind of thing.
Well, it's an outer planet. It travels more slowly, and you don't really think about it. It's relating to you as much as the faster planets.
Which I think really... it's something to really think about. When something is very deep in your life, the way you react to something, something that feels like it never is going to change, it doesn't mean it isn't changing. It just means it's so important. It's going to change slowly and thoroughly. And I think the more self-reflection we do about what we want to change or what feels like it needs to change within ourselves, the more work we do, the less we tend to see it in external events. And the more we can kind of be excited about facing our fear and moving forward in our own perceptions and our own truth. And a lot of people, I noticed, lots of people, all ages, are really taking big leaps forward these days. Because we are in the changing of an age, and no one alive understands how to do what's next. We're going to be experiencing it as we go. And in my mind, let me do as much of this shifting as I can while I'm here. Feels like the right time to face my life. And how about all of you? What are you feeling like you need right now? You can call into the show, and you can go to the chat room, I suppose. I can't really tell you how to do it. By next week, I'll be able to instruct. If there is something in your mind right now that you would like to have discussed, please send me a message on Facebook, Joni, J-O-N-I, Ross, R-O-S-S, Astrologer, on Facebook. Also, JoniRossAstrologer.com will be up and running very soon. And I really want to thank Benji, with all her great support, and Gwendolyn Barry, who is just an angel, a brilliant, dynamic angel, and really pushed for me to be part of this discussion, and I really thank you. We all need a little push sometimes, don't we? So the reason I chose Ella out of all the other version of the song I opened the show with, I Wished on the Moon, one of the nicer songs, there's a Billie Holiday version that I'm just crazy about, but Ella just had her birthday. She would have been 96 years old, and I just wanted to tribute to a Taurus like her, a queen of jazz and singing, you know. So what else did we have that we needed to answer, Pat? What question?
I think... all the other, let me see, do you have anything in your message box?
Well, I think there was one question of what do I do if I want to relocate, and how can I make sure the place is good for me and my husband? So I think that's a great question. It wasn't something I thought we would talk about today, but I might as well address it while Pat's finding her messages. There is a way of doing astrology called astrocartography, and this is imposing your horoscope on the globe of the world, so that if you're born in New York and Jupiter is right above you in the heavens, you're going to have Jupiter very prominent in your horoscope. And as we know, that's a good thing. Everybody likes Jupiter. It's the planet of benefic hope, faith, expansion, largesse, philosophy, international affairs. It's a global, and more than anything, it's what do you believe? Not just what you think, but what do you believe? So when you move somewhere else, it's as if your horoscope is rotating and you experience that place, you experience yourself in that place a little bit differently. So if you want to, you know, if you get married and you want to move somewhere, it'd be nice to go to a place where your moon is really prominent, where you feel like being a mother, because you're going to have these children, is really done with all its full potential to be entrusted with these lives to raise, and that your home really feels like a place that you're safe and secure and yourself, da-da-da. And then there's other places where you could move where you might be experiencing the hardest part of your chart being pronounced. You are yourself wherever you go, but the way you experience the world starts to be altered in your perception. And, you know, I don't know, it's the chicken before the egg, but sometimes people's perception of you is very reflective of that shift as well. And then you have your husband and his chart and how it affects everything as well. So it really takes a little bit of consideration and some real prep work to look at it and to really be able to, for the astrologer to really describe, well, this is going to be happening, this is going to be happening, and you might want to consider that. So to me, it gives you a lot of good information on what could be a better place for whom, whatever. There's also, when you're talking about a marriage, this organization called I Do, the marriage, the legalities, everything, the commitment. And when you get married, we make another horoscope. We make another chart that is called the wedding chart. And if you're astrologically inclined, you might have had that done by a very good astrologer who picks a wonderful day, beneficial day for cooperation and love and passion and sustaining forgiveness and all the things that go into good marriage. And let's say that happened, but also we can look at how that chart rotates in the other place. So astrocartography is a very interesting and good consultation to have. And I like to do those, obviously. I think it's very interesting and hopefully very helpful. And, you know, actually, I think finding a good chart, finding a good moment or an elected moment for something like getting married or opening a business or starting a radio show. These are all good moments, important moments to a person that you want to have fortified with flowing energy. Mostly, I'd say, the condition of the moon. And I like to be very connected to the moon, even though I don't live my day by day by astrology. When I have a moment, I need to look and see what's going on. I take a look and I consider what I see. If I was not an astrologer, I would be calling someone and asking them to look it for me. So, but the moon is something different. I think, especially as women, we're really aware of cycle of the moon. But if you connect to your life very sacredly on the new moon and the full moon, you start to feel this instinct emerge in your consciousness, where you feel more confident of trusting your intuition, etc. And then the moon affects or rules all the people, everybody. It rules how you feel. Oh, I'm here. This is me. That's your moon. And so I've been writing these moon messages to my newsletter list, and they're all about the new moon and the full moon, and maybe some of you have been reading them. And so we talk about the moon, as I did in the astrological blip that I did in the beginning. And then how does that lunation relate to my horoscope? So what I've been doing is writing about the moon and asking people, are you interested in finding out where the moon is in your chart? And what are the energy of that, the sign of that moon in your chart, in terms of, like, if the moon is in Aries, where is Mars in your natal horoscope? And what house or what field of your life does it reside in? And then I give people just a little explanation of how their natal energy is. And then it's up to you to combine the house the lunation is with that energy. And maybe it gives you some ideas or inspiration of what's going on for you, which very often it's quite coincidental. It is happening on some level. And how you might think about it so that you're not just reacting to it, but planning your activities so you're empowering your life. And I think astrology, that's another thing, aside from accepting diversity, that each person's chart is different, that we need to empower our life. We need to revere the potential within ourselves and not just hold back and wait for someday in the future. So, what is it? Timing is everything. So, I guess the word for today is now. So, if you'd like to have a copy of your horoscope and come back and listen, we're going to be here on Saturday afternoons for a while at 4 o'clock. And should be a podcast available, I'm assuming, right after the show, if you're late or you just want to have some time to pause and get a drink, come back. You can do that. And please feel free to get in touch with me on Facebook and comment and ask for questions. And you certainly can have an appointment, and we can really work on your horoscope and your questions and what cycles you're going through right now and what astrology says is emphasized, and maybe how we can look at how to use some of that amazing potential in a different way to a new challenge coming up. So, right, Pat?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Joni, I have a question here.
Okay.
It's a question from Ed, and he's asking why should he have his solar return done every year?
Okay. Well, you've been doing that. Have you skipped? I don't think so.
Ever? Since I've known you, no, I have never skipped my solar return.
Yeah. And I always look at mine, and I think it's a very good time. You know, after all, when you're winding down your old year and you're getting ready for another year older, and sometimes I think traditionally this is a low ebb for people. So that's why we have a party or whatever, to just make sure that we don't get stuck. So the solar return, I think, is a very good way, a ritual for your own self-help, to look at where is the solar energy, in what house is it in, and how does that chart look relative to your natal chart, and what does that mean in terms of what are the opportunities you can really take advantage of, and if there are challenges, just getting an idea sort of the astrological weather. And I find them very helpful, because sometimes I think about, wow, I really am going to learn this and this. Like, when your solar return sun is in the 12th house, I always recommend to people, make sure you find a getaway. Doesn't have to be a lot of money, but take those times when you just really don't have too many people around you, maybe nobody, and just really let it go and be in your imagination and prayer and relaxation. And in a year like that, the realizations that will come to you if you give yourself that luxury are much stronger than other years when maybe the sun is in the opposite house, the sixth house, when you really feel like getting to work early and you want to accomplish a lot and you just really feel working is important and you should be happy to have a job and you just really work on your schedule and getting everything done, organizing. So it's you, even you have a certain nature in general, these different years you're going to see there are different agendas. And especially when you have the sun in your relationship house and you don't have your relationship yet, it's a very interesting thing to really think about, reflect on, because we don't want to keep inviting the wrong guy in. We want to make sure we have an intention. No. That's the one I always like for one date or two. And then where is he? Or he's a jerk or whatever. I don't mean to be putting any of the jerks down, but you know who you are. Stay away from my client. No, I'm kidding. No, but we all have places in our life that we have to wait for opportunity because it isn't something happening all the time. So the solar return really talks about the focus of that year. So where are we in terms of time? Oh, we have a little more time. What do you say? Ah, no, I thought I was going to have Gwen on here. No, I don't think so.
I thought so too.
Yeah, I was thinking we could thank you in person, Gwen. Switchbird, one call. Anyway, I just really want to apologize to the listeners for needing to do this a few times before I know how to work the studio board. So what else did we want to talk about? I think next week we'll be hearing again, in the beginning of the show, astrological weather. We're heading towards a full solar eclipse. That should be quite poignant and interesting. And, oh, there she is. I think that's her. Let's see. No. Okay. Anyway, Gwen, I know you're there, so let me just tell you, thank you for being here to support our show. Thank you for sponsoring our show, Here Be Monsters, on the Consciousness Shift Show and many other shows that she has, and we're very happy to be part of it. And for the sponsoring of Daughter of Isis, wonderful, wonderful products that enable you to make your shift, help you. You know, scents are Neptunian things where it goes right past the conscious thinking into the energy directly, just like music does. And when I was born, Neptune and the sun were together. They were in different signs, but I'm very beginning of Scorpio, and Neptune was at the very end of Libra. So people that have that or even closer in the same sign tend to be like all the other Pisces out there. Not that we're airheads, but let's just say we can feel energy and we can be any kind of girl we want to be. They're the chameleons of the zodiac, along with the other mutable signs, Gemini, Sagittarius, and Virgo. Mutable signs are adaptable to their environments. And I guess the good advice I'd like to give to all the mutable signs is really take good care of your nervous systems because you are so receptive to energy, sounds, everything that I wonder if this can get me. No, I don't know. Oh, maybe that's it. Let's see. Are you on, caller?
I'm on.
There you are, Gwen. Let me just.
I feel like an English guy who used to call in and say, "I'm here."
Well, I'm a little slow, but I got you on. All I had to do was push the microphone button, but I did it, didn't I?
Yeah, you'll find that those little buttons are how you let people on and off, and you don't have to hang up on people, but you can mute them. Again, by pushing the little X over the microphone, it
Thank
goes blue.
Thank you for that. But I don't want to meet you or Pat, who never interrupts my long run on sentences. Anyway, I would
tell you one thing though. I'm getting some questions all over on Facebook of folks who are generally looking for the chat room that didn't find it today. And so
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Next time you'll do it. It's just, you know, it's over to the right-hand side of your studio.
No, I have it opened. I have it open. Oh, launch. I just thought people would just show up.
No, you have to push the little launch, the top button.
Okay. Anyway, I feel so much better that people wanted to talk to me now.
You're doing a great job. It sounds just wonderful. And I particularly loved the song you opened up with, the Ella Fitzgerald. It was beautiful.
I know. If you listen to Ella, you think that must be the most beautiful girl in the world, right? What a voice. Yeah, Taurus. She's a Taurus, and Taurus rules the throat. So a lot of great singers are Tauruses.
Well, that makes sense, doesn't
it? You mix a little Taurus with a little Pisces, and you're off.
You're good.
There's imagination and talent.
That's quite a blend.
Oh, it takes a while for this to load in. It's still flash chatting. Loading. Oh, okay. Anyway, so what was the... Was there a question I could answer, Gwen? How do I get in the chat?
No, I think once you figure out how to open the chat window, you'll automatically see people asking questions in the chat room when you're doing this show ongoing.
Okay,
you don't have to actually, until you're comfortable enough with it. Oftentimes I don't answer the questions by typing in the answers, but I will just verbally on air say, well, and in the chat room, so-and-so said, the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy whatever. And just refer to it that way. For me, it's been easier to do it that way because when you're running the studio board and you're checking the chat and you're trying to look at your notes if you have a guest on, it all gets kind of overwhelming. So it's easy just to relax and allow it to happen. And you can read the questions and you can say, Gail in chat wants to know what sign the full moon is in and what that means, you know? And then you go from there.
Well, I have the chat room, so if anybody had given up and they want to get on for the last quick question, we'd be delighted to answer them. And, again, don't stop here. You're so welcome to get in touch with me on Facebook. And my website will be up soon, and I will be able to really form my answers intelligently, having a little time in advance. And that would be really my pleasure. And you're also welcome to call me at 561-330-4040 if you wanted to set up a reading or talk about whether that's something that would be useful for you. And we can continue on next week. Gwen, anything else we need to talk about before we close the show? Or should I?
Not that I'm aware of. If you have,
can you,
you
please
know,
talk about the sponsorship correctly? Exactly how they
sure,
need to get to
sure.
your website.
The radio show is of course sponsored by Joni Ross, but also Daughters of Isis, and that's daughtersofisis.com, easy to find online. And the Fragrant Memories of Our Ancestors, we have a cultural apothecary collection that in scent or essential oil blends that are indigenous to cultures expressing their spiritual traditions. And we also create little partner collections to the oil collections of flower essences. One is for the physical, and the other is for the unseen world. And the flower essences that penetrate the unseen world are vibrational remedies. They're the homeopathy. They help us to transcend our consciousness into, you know, a more tangible.
Yes, yes.
A more tangible walk across the street, as they say.
I was trying to tell people what was in mine. I remember I was telling you what I used to mix up for myself, and you said, oh, I've got one right here. Do you remember what this blend is called, this oil blend?
Yes, it's from the medicine collection. It's actually called Grandmother Sky, and
nice.
It's apropos. An astrologer would have Grandmother Sky.
I love it, and I feel so happy sniffing it. So,
Its main ingredients are pretty, they're very mind-altering. There's nutmeg in it, there's clary sage, there's ocean pine.
And ocean pine.
Mm. Ocean pine, lang lang extra,
mm-hmm.
and I believe some Haitian sandalwood, with one other ingredient that I can't think of right off the top of my head. But you get the gist.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
It is amazing, Pat.
It sounds absolutely amazing.
It really, I'm going to especially use it next Saturday with the moon in Pisces. Actually, this oil makes you feel like you're already in the moon in Pisces. Which,
wow.
Like,
wow.
Which I said before, I have Neptune conjunct the sun, so it really isn't as strong as some of the other things in my chart, which get me to be kind of this zany professor about symbolism and technique. But it does really, really resonate with my intuition and the trust I have for what I hear within my head. And that's why I was talking about it, Gwen. I wanted to, I say, oh, I love nutmeg. Remember? And you said, and then I said, oh, I made, she says, oh, I have one here. And this is a beautiful Grandmother Sky, is it?
Yes. And anyone can find that in the medicine collection over over at daughtersofisis.com.
Yeah.
There's an oil section, and when you open up the oil section, you'll find all kinds of different collections by culture.
Yeah.
And it's part of the medicine oils.
I think any of you that are wondering, what gift should I give myself, this is the thing to do. Is to, do you have something like a sampler for people that they can try a few?
I run specials from my Facebook, Facebook and social network pages. But
okay.
Anybody who goes and buys three oils in a collection, or they can even mix them up, buys three oils, and then they put in the notes of their order that they would really like to try another order or another oil from whatever collection, I'll include it right now through the end of this month. I am in the Native American, or the medicine oils, the collection we've been talking about. I'm running that special. So
great. So what is the website if they want to
get one?
it's do they need to go on Facebook or can they? Okay, go ahead.
No, it's the website. They can find it, Daughters of Isis, Inc., on Facebook. But the website is just daughtersofisis.com.
Great, great.
Really easy. Thank you for that plug. I appreciate it.
Well, I really somehow got in touch with using oils to just shift things and help me shift, and I love them, and your oils are beautiful quality. And like I said, I feel happy right away. And considering I am blundering the board, I don't feel at all nervous. My prayer this morning was that I would that I would get to really know, you know, the listeners and connect with them. Whoever likes these kinds of talks would feel free to come in the conversation and find a place for this discussion each week, maybe, and tell your friends. And I feel very good because I found out that the chat room board wasn't open. So at least people tried. So next week I will have it open. And also, again, Joni Ross Astrologer on Facebook. You can message me if it's personal. Or even if it's not personal, you can message me about thinking about talking about something relevant to what's going on in astrology these days. Okay, so should we end the show, Pat?
Well,
Gwen, you want to say something?
Yes, I just was going to say goodbye. Thank you for having me on, and I look forward to hearing you again next week.
Thank you, Gwen. You too. And Gwen, what, Gwen?
Yeah.
Gwen, why don't you just mention when your shows are coming on too, and what's happening this week?
Tomorrow, please, folks, tune in to the Sunday show. It is a political show, sort of a radical review. And we have a wonderful author who's going to be with us. He wrote a book called The Devils of Eden. He's just back from the wars, and he's really talking about his experience over there and what went wrong and what went right, how he woke up to his own path in life. So please, Hollingsworth is his name, and he'll be with us tomorrow, The Devils of Eden, at 6 p.m. on Here Be Monsters with Jack Jodell and Gwen Berry.
Great. Great, great.
Thank you.
So
thank you, Joni, for the plug.
Sure. And Pat, enjoy New York City, the home of my happiness. And I will be checking out here from Delray Beach, Florida, where it is kind of beautiful, too. And we will see you next week. Take care, everyone. I'm going to end with Ella. Of a star to throw.